says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wind and moan boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn.
Welcome, show. Welcome, folks.
From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains.
Mountains and the western skies. Welcome to our show, wherever you're hailing from, as you're listening to us tonight here on the Trump Phenomenon. On this day, October 10th, 2017, you could almost hear me have to slide my glasses down my long nose. The advantages of having a big German nose. Becomes in handy for focusing your glasses later in life. We're all here tonight. Paul, George,
yes.
And myself. Paul, hi, Paul Fromm there in Canada. Hi, Paul.
Yes, yesterday was our Thanksgiving Day.
Ah, well, very good. And I hope you had a great one.
Yes, very good, thanks, yes.
And George there in Georgia.
Good to be here, James, and welcome back, Paul.
Yes, it's good to be back.
And as we start the show tonight, folks, it's always live, so you hear the you hear that little bit of commotion that sometimes takes place as the signal settles in. And also, as you take your place in the show, folks, as one of our callers at 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Let's see. There's something that might be a good basis for discussion. I'll just, I keep using the metaphor, throwing some logs on the fire. So here are a few logs. This Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, he's done us quite a service here by uncorking his mouth, popping off with his actual true feelings. Again, I like that. I like a guy who's telling us what he actually thinks. And here's a story as it's covered on Breitbart. The nanny deep state. Bob Corker reveals the establishment effort to tame Donald Trump's agenda. That's the headline. The writer here is Charlie Spearing. Veteran Republican establishment figure Senator Bob Corker confirmed to the New York Times that the Republican establishment is focused on corralling President Donald Trump and his agenda. In an interview with reporter Jonathan Martin, Corker said that most Republican senators realized that Trump was a threat to the general order. You can just hear him now all saying, sit down, Corker, and please shut up. Hey, of course, what set this off, of course, is that Donald Trump got in Corker's face, and Corker lost it. And so now here he is. He's saying too much. He says, they, these are all these Republican senators that are his colleagues, understand the volatility that we're dealing with and the tremendous amount of work that it takes by people around him to keep him in the middle of the road, Corker said.
Well, talk about admitting to management.
Yeah. Now, where this plays really well, of course, it's really great for us to be able to report this to the general public. But imagine Donald Trump's reaction to reading this. But it gets better because Corker names names. So Trump, as he's looking around the room, like let's say he's got a copy of the New York Times, and you know, laid out in front of him on the desk, on the HMS Resolute desk there in the Oval Office. And he reads the names of the people sitting around him as among those who are there to tame him. he looks from one to the other. And maybe they know that they're mentioned in this article, and they're trying to see whether the president's eye is on page one or page two, or is he reading about that story? Well, here it goes. It gets better. After the mild-mannered senator came unglued on Twitter.
That's funny, too.
Came unglued on Twitter on Monday. He told the New York Times he was trying to send a message to, quote, the good guys, unquote. Secretary, and then they're named. So imagine they're sitting in the Oval Office with the president for a meeting. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, and the White House Chief of Staff John F. Kelly. And quoting again, quoting Corker, as long as there are people like that around him who are able to talk him down when he gets spun up, you know, calm him down and continue to work with him before a decision gets made, I think we'll be fine, Corker said. On Sunday, Corker publicly shared the widespread view among Senate Republicans that the people around Trump were expected to keep him under control. And this is, here's now quoting the tweet that he sent out on Sunday. It's a shame the White House has become an adult daycare center, Corker said. Someone obviously missed their shift this morning. So that was what he tweeted on Sunday. So now what, you know, from what we know of our president's personality, folks, what you and I and the rest of what we've all observed, from the kind of his style, how do you think he's going to take an article like this? That he's being managed, he's being tamed, he's being kept in the middle of the road by the good guys who are all sitting around him there. He reads the article. I think Donald Trump is not going to take favorably to this kind of revelation from Senator Corker. So, and Senator Corker, who's now announced he's not even going to run in 2018, bless your evil little heart for letting the cat out of the bag. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, well, I think so. This is huge. And it's what people have feared, I think, for ever since January, that some of the most dire opponents of Donald Trump's agenda are not in the Hillary Clinton camp. Of course, they're there, too, but they're in the Republican Party, the Country Club Republicans, who on and off did have power at times. Under Bush, for I think at least one 2-year period, they controlled the House, the Senate, and of course the presidency. Now they control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. But the Country Club Republicans have never brought relief to white Americans who have been devastated by affirmative action for several generations. They just haven't got it done.
Yeah.
And that was just one issue, or immigration control. They, you know, just haven't got it done until Donald Trump came along. And I think he really upsets their comfy little agenda.
Well, as Mr. Corker said to the New York Times, I mean, that's a great place to blab, right, to the New York Times. Good thinking, Corker. To the New York Times, he says, Donald Trump is a threat. He's a threat to the general world order. I guess you could translate that to deep state.
A deep state, yeah.
Yeah, and then he is characterized as being the centerpiece of an adult daycare center. And someone obviously missed their shift this morning. That was on Sunday. Yeah. So, you know, you're being managed, Mr. President. And the people around you are containing you because you are a threat to the general world order. I'll tell you, this is really...
James, what's new with this? We all knew that, you know, the Senate, senior maggots in the Senate are never Trumpers. Mr. Corker has thrown a little maple syrup all over the, you know, the immediate staff. Secretary of State, the general who's the chief of staff. So, wow, he's throwing some rocks at, you know, and they're already the first round of replacements for, you know, Reince Krispies is gone. We have a new, you know, chief of staff. He's supposed to be better. And Bob Corker says, no, he's one of us.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You got that right, George. This is new. Is Corker, a dumb bunny that he is, he might be feeling very bitter about having to retire, being forced to retire from the Senate by who? By you, folks, by the Trump train, in the person of people like Steve Bannon. He might be feeling so bitter, he might be lashing out, that he makes this terrible mistake of naming names. If he had just left this general, that there are good guys who are supposed to keep the president in line, then the president could maybe, you know, not suspect any one particular person. But he goes out of his way to name, you're right, Tillerson, Mattis, and Kelly. So, boy, all three of those guys. Well, torture. Yeah, go ahead.
James, we have plenty of our own, well, our people on our show who dissent with maybe what we think, that Donald Trump really doesn't have anybody good working for him. That could be the case. So if General Mattis is no good, well, maybe we need to talk about that. You know, we're about to launch into a major conflict in the Far East, and he's the man. So is he on Donald Trump's side or not? It's another way of saying, is he on our side or not? So Bobby Corker, he's just taken a, you know, a big slap across the face to the entire internal circle in the West Wing.
Yes. My signal had a little bit of breakup there for you, George, right there. A little bit of.
That's okay. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, he seems to have put Donald Trump's immediate staff on notice. That's scary stuff.
Well, actually, you point out something I should be doing. I should have, like Steve Bannon, I should have a whiteboard here, you know, in the radio studio here in North Dakota. And on it, on that whiteboard, in the way that Steve Bannon put a list of all the promises that the president made in the campaign and how the fulfillment was coming on them. Wonderful whiteboard. I hope he carried that with him to his new office in Washington, D.C., and he has offices all over the world now. But we should have a whiteboard with the good guys and the bad guys. And from our point of view, the good guys. And there are good guys, like Scott Pruitt, the EPA secretary. These are very good guys, like Jeff Sessions, a very good guy. There are excellent guys in the Trump administration. Peter Navarro, the head of the trade office. You could not imagine out of, you know, nearly 8 billion people on Earth, if you could only pick the one guy who would be the best, have the best information and be the most capable at handling the Chinese war. Really, it's a war. It's a trade war on the U.S. and a spying war. Peter Navarro would be that person. And Donald Trump picked that one person who most of us had not heard of Peter Navarro.
Well, he took a good one. James, what I'm thinking of is your favorite website, and lots of ours, is Breitbart. So they've got plenty of time to weigh in and tell us, is Mr. Corker correct or not? So is General Kelly a good guy or a bad guy?
Say that again, George. Is Mr. Corker what? I missed
it,
part of
it. Yeah, it is. Are Corker's allegations correct that the inner circle of the president, including his chief of staff, are there to keep him in the box? That's serious business stuff. And if anyone's going to tell us the truth or dig around and find out, maybe it'll be Breitbart and Steve Bannon.
Yes. Well, now, you see, of course, that's what's going on right here. As I read this story, Steve Bannon is using Breitbart as he calls it. He's had some good names for it, but one of them was something like a killer application or a killer institution. He has real power with Breitbart. We've all fantasized over the years as we got hosed by the New York Times, the Washington Post, or, you know, the Toronto newspapers, Paul. As we were getting hosed endlessly, if only we had our own Patriot media, how different it would be. Well, we've got it, folks. And Steve Bannon is doing that with Breitbart. So just the appearance of this article. So Bannon spots, when one of his reporters spots something and writes about it, you're safe to assume that that reporter has been in the staff meeting that morning, getting the update from Steve Bannon himself as to where Breitbart's going that day. So, yeah, we are getting that. They are keeping score. And
James, just like Jesus himself was no respecter of persons, we're not either. So I'm open to hear what Breitbart has to say. I mean, they want to make a laundry list of 25 people or 50 that includes God knows who in the immediate staff of Donald Trump. I'm going, okay, tell us about it. You know, well, if we got seven years to go, let's get it right and get the traitors out of our midst.
Yeah. Well, but you put your finger on it. What's revolutionary about what Corker did? Even Bannon, even Breitbart can't say what Corker just uncorked, which is, what do the deep staters themselves think of Tillerson, Mattis, and Kelly? Even that, you see, that's they themselves are only privy to that. So Corker let the cat out of the bag. And there's no way he can take those words and paper them over. So anyway, this is great. Let's proceed. Let's throw some more logs on the fire here. That one's enough for any amount of shows. We talked yesterday about what Rush Limbaugh has said, that Steve Bannon is taking over the role of the Republican Party. I hope you got a chance to hear that little audio clip from Rush Limbaugh. You missed it, Paul, but it was just amazing. Rush Limbaugh, I may have a chance to play that again tonight. But conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh said this week that Bannon is taking over the role of the Republican Party as he looks to support conservative challengers to establishment lawmakers in 2018. I think what Bannon is doing, he said, is slowly but surely taking over the role of the Republican Party. And people joining Bannon are doing the same. The Republican Party is obviously not with Trump on balance. You have some in the White House who are. There's your question, George. But the Republican Party on balance is not with Trump. So
Well, that backs up RBN's observation that there's not a dime worth the difference between the two parties.
Yes. Yes. We've been saying that for a long time. And there's nothing, you know, what's surprising about this? The fact that they are desperately clinging to some way to get in, to worm their way into Trump's White House. We'll be right back. Good chance for you to call in. See you in a minute.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And for Paul, and those of you that missed, I think we played it yesterday. For those of you that missed it, this is just a few seconds, but it's very important. Rush Limbaugh, the largest radio audience in the world, I believe, certainly in the U.S., just ahead of Sean Hannity, number two. Isn't that great? One and two are on our team. In the top 10, it gets even better. But here's what Limbaugh said just a few days ago on this subject of Bannon, in effect replacing the establishment Republican Party with an authentic version that's patriotic.
I think what Bannon is doing, and I don't know whether he's doing it on purpose, he maybe is a smart guy. I think what Bannon is doing is slowly but surely taking over the role of the Republican Party. And people joining Bannon are saying the Republican Party is obviously not with Trump on balance. You have some in the House who are, but the Republican Party is on balance not with Trump. Bannon is attempting to put together a group of people who are, who call themselves Republican. Some people could make the argument there really isn't a Republican Party left here. I mean, there's people who call themselves that, and they go out and they raise money, and they raise a lot. But whereas the party used to be known for one or two, three very serious things, they're not anymore. when the Republican Party joins the Democrats on things like amnesty for illegal immigrants, that's not the Republican Party. The Republican Party ceases to exist in the area of immigration, for example.
And as Paul, says so clearly, if you got it wrong on immigration, everything else is beside the point. So the very important comment there from Rush Limbaugh and Steve Bannon himself, like the previous week, had said, I'm trying to remember his exact words, but he said that he was setting up a shadow Republican Party. Then he came out with the great victory. Not only is Bannon doing this, but it's working spectacularly well. And the opening round, the election of Roy Moore, or the victory of Roy Moore in the Republican primary in Alabama, which will be followed on December 12th with his election to the U.S. Senate. And there will be more. The Corker, the one we are covering tonight, Corker coming unglued. And he look at the timing, folks. Corker announced that he was not going to run for re-election in 2018 on the very day that the results in Alabama were coming out. So he's sitting there glued to his computer, noticing that Roy Moore is stomping on Luther Strange, and Corker realizing, hey, in 13 months, I will be the Luther Strange. There will be a Steve Bannon person stomping on my face. I'm going to get out while the getting's good. So the...
And then he beats up and rats on all his friends on the way out. The American way.
Yeah, that very good. He couldn't just be quiet as he went out the door. And that's a common human trait, is for somebody to, right when they're told to clear out their desk and the security guard is on either side of the guy as he's being led out of the workplace. That's a pretty likely time for him to kind of let everybody know what he really thinks. Laced with profanities. So, yeah, Corker let us know. Let's see here. Find some more gems here. This is an interesting story. Again, Breitbart comes out with a story. I didn't know this, and of course the lamestream legacy media is not covering the story well at all. But the Las Vegas shooter story, there's an aspect to this that Breitbart's covering, but the lamestream is not. And that's this. A security guard, I think his name was Campos, a security guard of the Mandalay Casino, actually accosted Paddock 6 minutes before the shooting began and could have taken him out, but for one thing. I'll save that mystery for the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
When I was a little boy, Mama said to me, any man can be a fool, a man is hard to be, any man can be a fool.
We're back, folks.
A man is hard to be.
And let's see, I was going to, I was going to fill in a mystery for you before the break. Campos, the security guard, caught Paddock in the act of setting up his massacre. But guess what the policy at the Mandalay Inn is? Official policy ruling the behavior of security guards like Campos. Well, here, I'll read it to you. I'm trying to hold on to a bunch of links here. Here it is. I want to read the policy. Yes. The mandate, guards at Mandalay are banned from carrying weapons of any kind, including guns, knives, nightsticks, mace, pepper spray, stun guns, etc. All are strictly prohibited on Mandalay Bay. Get that right, sorry. Mandalay Bay property. So the guard, Campos, Jesus Campos, he ends up instead getting shot and incapacitated by Paddock, Stephen Paddock, 6 minutes before the attack began. And Breitbart asks, what if he'd had a Glock with 15 rounds loaded in it? How that encounter would have turned out differently, and 58 people would not have been massacred and 500 not injured.
You might not have needed a Glock. You could have had a single 38.
Right.
And gotten his attention. He could have pointed it out the window and fired 15 warning shots, and people could have scattered before this idiot opened fire.
Yes, and Breitbart expands further on this. And now, and notice the style with which Breitbart does it. They have a editor, A.W.R. Hawkins. He is the Second Amendment columnist for Breitbart News. So he's covering this story. He's an expert on this. And now it shows, because his article then goes on to make more persuasive points. He says, consider the heinous attack on Sandy Hook Elementary School, where there were no good guys with guns, and the attacker had over 9 minutes without any armed resistance. So he killed a lot of people. Contrast that with a shooting almost 1 year later to the day, a shooting in which Carl Halverson Pearson entered Denver, Colorado's Arapahoe High School with a shotgun and was confronted by an armed guard. The armed guard began running toward the sound of the shooter immediately. Arapahoe County Sheriff Grayson Robinson said that as a result of the guard's action, the heavily armed shooter realized he was about to be confronted by an armed officer. And what did he do, folks? He shot himself. That's the difference between a Second Amendment in action and gun prohibition. This is a story. You've told the story many times, Paul. The Second Amendment saves lives, thousands of them.
Absolutely.
Because of a good guy with a gun. I like that phrase. A good guy with a gun. The Arapahoe High School shooting, that should become part of our lexicon. Good guys with guns. Arapahoe High School shooting lasted 80 seconds. It took the life of only one innocent person. Sandy Hook lasted over 9 minutes, 26 dead children and adults. And then, what if the good guy had a gun there in Las Vegas on the weekend? So, very well covered by Breitbart.
Hey, James, so many good things have happened this week. My head's spinning. But can I bring up a little bit about football?
Sure.
I just can't resist it. So today there was just an immense avalanche of angry black talking heads in the sports business. How passionately they hate Donald Trump. I mean, this is a personal thing. And this is, I think, wow, extremely amazing that with his statement, that man has dissed tens of thousands of heavy-duty Negro athletes, because that's what they all think. And Michael Wilbon made all these statements today. He was part of the Washington Compost, and now he's the big wig on ESPN. And he was, you know, it's hard for that man to turn red. You couldn't tell on TV. He was so angry that this virulent, hideous, racist Trump had said what he said. But let's face the fact of what it is. Donald Trump has confronted the top end of black America and gave them the burr. And you'll never put that one back in the bag. And,
well,
of course,
and notice,
I love
and,
it, but this is and, serious. We have been we've been forced to worship blacks. I mean, it's Negro worship, especially in sport. And in one fell swoop, Donald Trump has taken that plane, grabbed it, and smashed it into the ground. And there's just really, it's true. There are hundreds of thousands of humiliated black athletes all over the country. And Goodell himself, the NFL commissioner, said, oh, now they're going to stand for the national anthem. Well, they're never putting that genie back in the bottle. And, you know, we haven't had a leg up in the black-white race war for 55 years. Donald Trump just gave us a leg up. Boy, that took a lot of guts.
Well said, George. And, you know, notice the overlap between that story and the Corker story. That is, Corker, just like those black talking heads that lost it on the air, losing it, Corker lost it. They, like Corker, find Donald Trump is a threat. He's a threat to their world order. And then they are now in their unglued state. They're saying things they'll regret later, but they're letting people know what they really think as they clear out their desk and are escorted to the parking lot.
I can't resist distilling this. We are commanded by the New World Order to worship Negro athletes in America. And it was that way nonstop for the last 50 years until how many nights ago? Has it been 2 weeks? Donald Trump took that and ended it all by himself forever and ever, instantly. The President of the United States does not worship Negro athletes. What could possibly be more politically incorrect than that? And we carry on from there. It's an amazing revolution.
Yeah, and it all goes to that one exactly. There was a series of tweets, and he said, his phrase was "fire these sons of bitches," and you know it's like whoa, you know you could feel the air leave the room, and you're right. What an amazing thing.
I mean, nobody anywhere in America was able to say that except in the privacy of their own home or maybe in out in the woods duck hunting. And Donald Trump does that in public as the president of the United States. I mean, black America has never been angrier than they are right now. And it's interesting that they're not burning cities to the ground. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, and of course, not all of black America. You know, Dr. Ben Carson is not, with Trump.
I'm picking up on that, James. What do you think that percentage is? Okay, so maybe 5% of black America goes along with Trump. The other 95, they are mad as hell that this unbelievable Nazi racist just called them all sons of bitches.
Well, he called the sons of bitches. He referred to the spoiled athletes.
Spoiled athletes, and let's face it, you know, all black America regards the NFL as theirs. And I've been watching around here. They are ticked, pissed, and I'm loving it.
Well, yes, no, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but I just want to sort of, insert qualifiers in the language there that, he's specifically – said what no one was ever had the guts to say, which is that these athletes are spoiled sons of bitches.
But it's the most sacred cow of all sacred cows, the National Football League. That's more important religion than the Catholic Church in America. And Donald Trump just gave it a good kick in the what.
But part of the, now we're going to go to this. How did Trump win? What has he done that has been so successful that nobody had the brains or maybe just the common sense to do it previously? And that is the subject of Laura Ingraham's new book, which is entitled Billionaire at the Barricades, The Populist Revolution from Reagan to Trump. And I'm going to order a copy of that for myself tonight. But let me read here's a little bit of that book here. Just a little preview. She says, Laura Ingraham says, and remember, I'm relating this to your comment you just made. Part of what Trump did, Sheriff David Clark of Milwaukee, who's, he's a black man. He is a tremendous supporter of Donald Trump. Dr. Ben Carson came back from being really badly handled by Donald Trump in the presidential debates. And he is such an honest guy and has such integrity. He came back as a tremendous supporter of Donald Trump. So, the breakdown of how many black people are pro or anti-Trump, I don't know that. So I'll leave that to the side. But just one of the ways that Trump has succeeded is the generosity of his spirit. I know he sounds like he's taking a baseball bat to those he opposes, but he's very generous with those who support him or who are on his team or who are on our team. So that's one of the ways.
But I'm enjoying watching Roger Goodell snivel on his hands and knees. He is the commissioner of the NFL. He holds the same seat that Pete Rozelle did 40 years ago, who was a good man. Just 5 days ago, he was saying Donald Trump's terrible and I support the players. Well, that was 5 days ago. That was about $150 million ago. Now it's we're all going to stand for the national anthem, boys. You got it? Let's all stand.
Right. And George, do you think the reason for that was the that whites are doing what you've urged for months here?
They're
beginning to turn off their TV, and they're not going to go and buy the overpriced team paraphernalia, the baseball
cap. For God's sake, the local team down here, I won't mention what it is, people are calling talk shows every day and going, I'm giving back my season tickets. And they're losing millions. Wow. So this is real. Donald Trump is taking on the National Football League. No one ever has taken on the National Football League. Donald Trump has.
Yeah, and of course, in yesterday's show, I think it was yesterday, George, you pointed out that the average price of an NFL ticket is $172.
Holy jumping.
Yeah, that's what
average.
I thought.
On the East Coast, you want to watch the New England Patriots? Go ask Mr. Kraft how much it costs to sit on the 40-yard line and watch that team play.
Yeah. So, the this is an amazing amount of money, and there are we're also dealing with, other things that are coming out. Trump brought them out, of course, is that all of these stadiums are subsidized by the taxpayers locally near the stadium in the city and the state.
Yes, they are. I paid for the Baltimore Ravens Stadium. I don't want to, but I did. Why? Yeah. Because it's the People's Republic of Maryland, and we're forced to do it.
You mentioned that person spinning on a dime, reversing his view, because it's now being brought to his attention. Hey, you're going to lose your free stadiums. You're going to lose your tax breaks. You're going to lose billions.
It was all over it. So Trump made these statements and tweets saying, why did the NFL get tax breaks?
Yeah.
My God. Nuking North Korea is nothing compared to taking away the tax breaks for the National Football League. Come on. Yes. What's more heretical than that?
Well, yes. And Annie, Laura Ingraham, in her book, I don't know if I like the title, actually, Billionaire at the Barricades, because I don't think being a billionaire has much at all to do with the success. And in her opening comment, she makes that point, actually, oddly, because she says, if I had to pinpoint, this is the beginning of her book, if I had to pinpoint a single moment that foreshadowed the rise and ultimate victory of Donald Trump, I would choose June 10th, 2014. That was the day a little-known economics professor defeated the Republican House Majority Leader Eric Cantor in a primary challenge. It had never happened before in American history. Not a single member of the media or political establishment saw it coming. Yet Dave Bratt's victory, B-R-A-T, victory, didn't come out of nowhere. It was actually a logical outcome after years of a Republican leadership that had grown smug, insulated, and totally out of touch with the concerns of its own grassroots. But there she's got it right there. And then I'll go down a little further. She says, let's see here. We got him right where we want him, Bratt insisted in reference to the incumbent Cantor at what was our first face-to-face meeting. I laughed and wondered if I would be that optimistic if I were in his shoes. Tan with his sandy brown hair combed back and wire-rimmed glasses, Bratt had the look of an all-American prepster. His smile was real and reassuring. More than the average politician, what Dave Bratt understood back in 2014, folks, was the urgent need to disrupt the old GOP hierarchy. Fundamental conservative change would not be possible in Washington unless and until the establishment in both parties was exposed and defeated. And there she goes. She builds from that. But we remember that, Paul. That was amazing. Eric Cantor, as much an insider as you could possibly be. And he himself was shocked when this unknown person, Dave Bratt, a quiet economics professor, not only beat him, he beat him soundly.
Hey, James, I've been dominating too much, and we have two callers.
All righty. Well, no, you haven't, George, but we'll go to George in Texas and John in Little Rock. George in Texas, you're on the air.
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, the thing is about the word sons of bitches, Vince Lombardi would have said that word if one of his players kneeled during the national anthem. So
he would have done more than that.
Oh, yeah. That's just going easy. But anyway, you know, talking about Steve Bannon setting up a shadow Republican or a parallel constituency to the Republican Party, you know, the thing is, I just hope this trickles down to the state level, because I hear all year in Texas, we got the most conservative legislature ever. Well, I'm always saying, put your money where your mouth is. And I always said, you know, you talk about Texas bias, I said,
well,
that,
now,
at the
George,
break.
George, yeah, we'll continue right after the break. Stay tuned.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We're back, folks. George, apologize for the interruption in your thought there about you're hoping that the Steve Bannon's revolution will descend down to the local level, and of course it will. There's no way, you know, he'll fill it in, and we will, you know, this will go down to every level of government. So I wouldn't be concerned there. Go ahead.
I just say I'm going to get off and squeeze in the last caller for you. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you, George. And we're going to go to John in Little Rock next. The let me just, before you get on, John, from Laura Ingram, here's what she says in her brand new book. The force behind Dave Brat's victory, that was in 2014, was populism, the belief that people should have power instead of ceding it to elites. Americans are used to left versus right political disagreements. Populists understand that there's a top and a bottom, too. The establishment, composed of powerful elites on both the left and the right, does not trust individuals to make decisions for themselves. Instead, they believe Washington experts and bureaucrats must fill the void. Populists believe individuals should have more control over their own lives. And then she goes down here. I'm just skipping through her introduction. This is going to be a powerful book. And remember, Laura Ingram now has a show on Fox, so she's going to be really huge. I'd like to see Donald Trump appoint her to an important position, but
huge.
Here she goes. She says, despite the conventional wisdom, or whatever it's calling itself today, Trump didn't win because of free airtime or because he hosted The Apprentice. He didn't win because of his tweets. He didn't win because he is a celebrity. He didn't win because of FBI Director James Comey. He didn't win because the Democratic National Committee was hacked. He didn't even win because Hillary was a lousy candidate and a worse campaigner. Trump won because his message of economic nationalism and a less interventionist foreign policy reflects the will of the people. He won because he vowed, a la Buchanan, to put America first again. He won because both parties had gotten fat off the status quo, while many in the middle were being squeezed. He won because he was not a politician, but a self-made outsider who fearlessly called out the collusion among politicians, the media, and even big business. He won because Americans had it with Washington's failed promises, with political correctness, with open borders, and with career politicians, consultants, pollsters, and pundits. And in the end, voters in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Ohio didn't care about his rough language. They cared about saving their country and knew the only way to do it was to elect a renegade, a disruptor, someone who owed the old guard nothing. Ironically, that someone was a Manhattan billionaire. Trump won because on the biggest issues of the day, he had the guts to stand with the silent majority. Just like Dave Brat, he was right and his opponents were wrong. Got a little break here. Oh, we got a big break. It's going to take all day. John and Little Rock, shame on me. Don't you dare not call back again tomorrow night. We'll put you on first thing when we start the show, John and Little Rock. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. We'll see you again tomorrow night.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.